So I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm not perfect. And so some of you guys may think I am. I am not. I'm far from perfect. I have a great many flaws in my life, if I can just be completely transparent with you. Yeah, Pastor said amen really loudly down here. Not sure if that means my job is secure or not, but anyways. One of my greatest flaws, however, is that sometimes I kind of have the tendency to do things half-hearted. Like, I'll only give 50% effort, or I'll only do 50% of what I'm required to do. And this is kind of something that I've struggled with my entire life. And so to give you an example of what that looks like in my life is about 3 years ago or so, I just made the decision, you know, I made the decision. I said, I'm going to start getting physically fit. I'm going to get fit like I was back whenever I was in high school, whenever I could run a mile in under 5 minutes, and I'm going to get fit as close as I can to that. And so what I did was I started working out 3 to 4 times every week, which I was like, surely this will be enough. Surely this is going to work out for me. I'm going to get the six pack. I'm going to be super fit. You know, I'm going to look like I'm going to have the soccer bod. That's like my desired body, is the cut body without being too like overly muscular. Cause I don't know. I just think and so don't want to offend anybody in here. So I started working out 3 to 4 times a week with Pastor Jonathan and stuff like that. And so, what had happened was I was expecting these results, like I was going to get really like slim and I was going to get really fit. And the problem was I was not receiving those results at all. I became what I would call flubby, and for lack of a better term. And what that is it's a mixture of fit and chubby. And so it's like I was strong, at least I think I was strong. And some people may look at me, but they may not see my muscles because it was covered by the fat that was still present all over me. And that fat is still here to this day. Unless you get sick, which I've been sick twice now in the past 2 months. I had norovirus and I had the flu. And I lost a lot of weight then, which honestly, like, Ozempic is overrated. Just get the flu or something like that instead, and all your problems will be solved. And so I definitely have lost a little bit of weight from being sick, but my point is this. I was half-hearted in my effort to get physically fit, because although I was working out, I was missing another part of the equation. I wasn't willing to do the other part, which is eating healthy. And my bout with vegetables is well recorded in a lot of my messages. You guys know I've been in here before. I hate vegetables with a burning passion. And so it's like, why eat vegetables when I can eat fried chicken? Like, what? Like, is that even a choice for some of you guys? Well, why eat nothing at 12 a.m. when I should be eating nothing, when there is a nice pint of ice cream sitting in the freezer beckoning my name? Like, it's literally calling me while I lay in bed, come and eat me. And so, I was not willing to put in the other half of the work that was required of me. I wasn't willing to eat healthy. And so I'm happy to report, though, now I have a wife. Praise the Lord, because holy smokes, I would be like 200 pounds right now if I didn't have a wife, if I'm being honest with you, and I've only been married for 2 months. So now she makes me eat my veggies. If there is a veggie that night, I have to eat it, whether it's broccoli, bell peppers, carrots, anything like that. Does that make me 5 years old? Maybe, but I do eat my vegetables now, so I'm eating healthier, but I haven't been working out as much recently because when you get married, life just gets a little bit busy, and I've been sick, so I haven't really been able to. And so all that to say is the reason why I haven't been getting the results I want is because I've been half-hearted in my effort to become physically fit. And now some of us can relate to that in certain ways. You know, the truth is all of us at one point or another, probably within the last year, maybe two, maybe even sooner than that, more recently than that, we've all done something half-heartedly. We've all done something with 20% effort, 50% effort, 75% effort. Some of us, we've gone to work, and what we've done is you know, we were wanting a promotion and we were wanting a raise and we were expecting those results, but because we were only going to work and doing our work half-heartedly with half of the effort that we should have, we didn't get the results that we expected. We didn't get the raise that we wanted. We didn't get the promotion that we wanted. And the reason why is because we were only half-hearted in our effort. Some of us in our relationships are really half-hearted. Speaking of which, men in the room, Valentine's Day is in 2 days. get your flowers, get your chocolate, get your card as soon as possible. So, I mean, don't forget about it. This is your friendly reminder that Valentine's Day is in 2 days. But some of us, we give 50% in our relationships, and then we get to a relationship that's broken, and you can't fix it. And then we wonder, what in the world happened? Well, it's because we only gave partial effort. It's because our heart was only in it, not at 100%. And then, as I said, getting fit, for example, we have to be wholehearted if we want to get the results that we want to see in our life. And the same can be said whenever it comes to our walk with Christ. A lot of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, or excuse me, many people in America today, if we were being honest, walk half-heartedly with the Lord. If there was a 100% was giving your all, a lot of believers are at 50%. Their life is half in, half out whenever it comes to their relationship with the Lord. And is that partially the people's fault? Yes. But at the same time, it's the church's fault as well, because we have watered down the gospel so much that we want to be seeker-sensitive and seeker-friendly. So it's like, come to church, but you don't have to worry about changing anything. Like, there's no reason to change. We want you to be comfortable here. We want you to be, you know, chill here. You go out in the foyer, you get your coffee, you come in, and you enjoy worship with your coffee, and then you sit down and you still have your coffee and completely disregard the presence of God, because, you know, what matters is you, is basically what is being preached. And that is not the way that it should be. And what it's creating is creating half-hearted believers. It's creating half-hearted Christians. And now I am very thankful that we are a church that does not do that. I am so thankful that we as a church, we preach the word of God. We don't water down what Jesus said. We don't water down the call of the gospel on our lives. We don't do that. And here's the deal. We don't do that because Jesus didn't do that either. In fact, there are moments in the New Testament where, if you're reading, Jesus says something and he loses a bunch of his followers. So for example, he'll say something like, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood." And what happened was many people ended up leaving, because Jesus didn't care about their comfortability as much as he cared about their character and how much it looked like Christ. And here, my hope is that whenever I preach, I care more about your character than your comfortability. I care more about you being developed as a disciple than you not being offended by something that the Word of God says. And that's my goal, and that was the Savior's goal as well. He wanted to create disciples rather than creating nominal Christians in name only. And so I'm here to tell you tonight, it's not okay to be a half-hearted Christian. And some of you guys in this room, you may be in a place where you're half-hearted in your walk with the Lord, and that's okay for now, but you got to make a change tonight. There's got to be something that shifts in your life that causes you to be a wholehearted believer. Jesus says this in Revelation. Revelation 3, verses 15 through 16, Jesus is writing to speaking to the church in Laodicea, and he says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other, cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." And so he's saying this to people who are half-hearted in their relationship with the Lord. They are lukewarm. They're not on fire for the Lord, serving him, doing the things that he's called them to do, but at the same time, they still believe in him. They're not denouncing him. They're halfway in and they're halfway out. And the reason why I believe that the Lord says that he would rather you be hot or cold, the reason why he tells this church in Laodicea that, is because when we're lukewarm, what we're doing is, yes, we say that we believe in the Lord and we say that we're a follower of Jesus, but we still act like the world. We still act like the devil. And what happens is then we bring reproach on the name of Christ because we are not following God at 100% like we should be. And so he calls us to be hot. That's what I want us to be. He wants us to be on fire for him. He wants us to be completely dedicated to him. Not 50%, not 75%, but 100% sold out, surrendered to the Lord. Now, there have been times in my life where I have been lukewarm. And this is even after I was saved on June 25th, 2013. So more than 10 years ago now. And there have been moments of my life where if I look back and I evaluate my walk with the Lord, I can look back and say, okay, in 2017, I was lukewarm. And you know what I needed to do? I needed to just kind of wake myself up and say, it's not okay for me to remain in this state. I'm either going to serve him entirely, or it'd be better for me to not serve him at all. And here's what I want to say is, I'm not saying any of these things condemningly if you find yourself in a lukewarm state tonight. I'm saying that we have a Savior who can pull us out of our lukewarmness and can make us on fire for him again. We have a Holy Spirit who can fan into flames the gift that God has laid upon you. And so we have to rely on him and trust in him. And so my goal tonight is not to condemn, but instead it's to call us higher. And to maybe if some of us are lukewarm, to call us out of our lukewarmness into being on fire for the Lord, wanting to serve him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And here's the deal with half-hearted Christianity. It'll just make you frustrated. Ultimately, that's what it's going to lead to. If you decide that you're going to be on the fence about your Christianity, you're just going to get frustrated. Because if we live halfway in and halfway out, what we're doing is we're not experiencing the blessing of being fully committed to the Lord, but we're still doing some of the work. And it's just that that's no fun. That's not the way that Jesus intended it. That's not the way that God wants our relationship to be with him. And so my question for us tonight is this. What does the Bible say about how we as Christians should look like as believers? How does the Bible call us to be committed? And what does 100% of our effort, of our following, of our surrender look like to the Lord? That's what I want us to answer tonight. In order to answer that, we are going to be in Romans chapter 12. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 12. Romans 12 is written by, the entire letter of Romans is written by a guy named Paul, and he is writing to a church in Rome at the time, and he's going to tell them what it looks like to follow Christ fully, 100%, completely sold out for the Lord. And so he starts out by saying this in Romans 12, verse 1. He says, "Therefore, I urge you." In some translations, it says, "I beseech you." In other words, it means, "I beg you, I plead with you." He says, please do this. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Underline living sacrifice if you are willing to underline in your Bible. "Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and your proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And so what does it look like to live sold out? What does it look like to pursue Christ with 100% of your heart? Here it says that we're meant to be living sacrifices. Living sacrifices. This is something that Paul calls us to be, and it's a very, very high calling, to be a living sacrifice to the Lord. Now, in our society, you know, I think that we are kind of removed from the idea of sacrifices, thank the Lord, because sacrifices were very dirty in old times, and yes, we can sacrifice things like time or energy, or we can sacrifice money, for example, but the culture that Paul was writing to here would have actually had a greater idea of what he meant when he said that we were meant to live sacrificially. Because the deal is before the Lord came, before Jesus came, they did sacrifices very, very often. And so, for example, the Jews, they had to do a burnt offering. And what a burnt offering represented was total surrender and total devotion to God. And once they gave that offering, it was gone for good. That was their sacrifice. They gave grain offerings to represent and to symbolize their thankfulness to the Lord. And then the most popular one is the sin offering, because we all sin, which makes atonement for the sins that they had committed before the Lord came. Now then, do we have to partake in these sacrifices? Absolutely not. That's what Paul is saying. We, in Hebrews, it says that Jesus served as our once-for-all sacrifice, meaning that we no longer have to slaughter, you know, bulls, lambs, goats, anything like that, because Jesus was the lamb who was slain for our sins. Can I get an amen? Thank the Lord for that, because I don't know about y'all, but if I was having to make atonement for my sin by taking lambs and goats, I would need a whole farm, because I struggle with sin. You know, it's just something that is the human condition, and I'm thankful that I have the Holy Spirit to help me, but that doesn't make me perfect. Going through life is a process of sanctification every single day that we wake up, and that's what we're going to see as we walk through this message. But I'm thankful that the Lord paid for my sin, because honestly, blood makes me squeamish. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm like a little girl when I see blood, kind of. And so I just, it makes me like my stomach turn, and I don't really like blood at all. And so the idea of having to sacrifice animals, beyond me. I can't do that. So, but the reason Paul says that we are meant to be living sacrifices is not so that we can go and sacrifice ourselves. That's not what he's saying. But instead, what he's trying to communicate is that we are supposed to live every day sacrificially unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. In every single thing that we do, we are supposed to live sacrificially for the Lord. Now, the reason why Paul says this is because in the very verse before Romans 12:1, which we just read, in Romans 11:36, he says this: from him, God, and through him, and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So this kind of references two things right here. It references creation, and it references salvation. And so because we were created by God, and we were subsequently saved by God through the blood of Jesus, we have a reason to live sacrificially. We have a reason to live as a sacrifice unto God. That is the reason why if Jesus came and he sacrificed his very life for us, then guess what we should be doing? We should be living sacrificially unto the Lord every single day of our lives. Now, does that mean we have to go die on a cross? No, absolutely not. Some of you guys may be called to be a missionary where, you know, you might be a martyr or something like that. I don't know. Those are few and far between. But what we have to do is we have to decide to live every day totally and completely surrendered to the Lord. And so Romans 12:1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And I find that to be interesting because it reminds me of a verse that Paul actually writes in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20, where Paul writes this. He says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Why? Because he's worthy of it. Because he bought you with a price, with the priceless blood of Jesus. If you ever question your worth, just remember that God died for you. God in a body. Jesus, he died for you. And he said that you are valuable. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And he was willing to die for you. And so, when I read this verse, you know, do you not know that you are the bodies of, or that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? It just speaks to me, and it says that being Christian is more than just a mindset that we adopt. It's more than just a mindset that we adopt. Being Christian is more than just simply joining a club of other believers who believe in Jesus. It's more than that. It's more than that. It's more than changing your opinion on some things. No, instead, it's complete life change. It's complete life change. It's more than like putting makeup on, for example. It's a complete makeover. You're changing everything about your life. That's what God calls us to do whenever we want to follow him. Being a living sacrifice and honoring God with our bodies requires full and total surrender, not just at the point we give our lives over to the Lord. And I think that some of us, you know, I was definitely disillusioned whenever I gave my life to the Lord. I just thought I was going to give my life over to the Lord and everything was going to be sunshine and puppy dogs. Like everything's just going to go well. And then I quickly found out I still have a sin issue. I still have all the problems in my life. I still have the same family. I still have to go to school in a few months. And so it was something that I quickly realized, okay, maybe all this doesn't happen all at once. But day by day, every day I wake up and I choose to serve the Lord, I choose to fully surrender to him, life may just get easier because I'm more in tune with his Holy Spirit. Life may just get easier because I'm more in tune with what his will is calling us to do. And so it's not a one-time thing that we instantly stop sinning or we instantly begin doing everything right. But it is a process of becoming more holy day by day by day as we totally surrender to him. 100% of us, not just 50% of us. Now, if I were to give you my definition or my description of what being a living sacrifice is or what it might look like, this is what I would say. A living sacrifice, to be a living sacrifice means to dedicate your whole life, your thoughts, your actions, your desires, and your body, as Romans 12:1 says, to God as an act of worship. As an act of worship. I'll say it again. It's to dedicate your whole life, your thoughts, your actions, your desires, and your body to God as an act of worship. What I'm saying here is that there should not be a single part of our lives that we hold back from God. There shouldn't be a single part of our lives that we say, okay, God, you can have my kids and you can have my life, but you can't touch my finances. You can't touch my finances. At that point, you're no longer 100% in with God. You can't say, God, you can have my kids, you can have my finances, but God, you can't touch my work. You can't touch my friends. At that point, instead of being 100% all in with God, you're somewhere in like 90%, 80%. When God calls us to 100% in tune with him, living with him. And so we have to make sure that every single part of ourself is being surrendered over to the Lord. Surrendered over to the Lord. That's what it means to live sacrificially for him. And so this means that there needs to be a change in two things. And so we have to change two things. One thing is we have to stop doing things that the Lord tells us to not do in his word. And you can't know what he tells us not to do if you don't read his word or you don't come to church. And so a lot of us, what we do is we have sin in our lives. And it's the human condition. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us, but it doesn't make us, it doesn't make us perfect at all. And so we have to stop doing the certain sins that cause us to stumble and cause us to fall. And at the same time, I think that a lot of times we get so focused on what we shouldn't do that we forget that there are things that we should do as well. Things that the Lord calls us to do, things that the Lord calls us to serve in, people that the Lord calls us to reach. And we get so focused on the do nots that we forget all about the things that God calls us to actually do. And so those are two things that are going to set up these four ways that we can be a living sacrifice every single day of our lives. And so these are four ways that I want to close our message that are going to serve as application to you to say every day, this is how I know if I'm being a living sacrifice. This is how I know if I'm completely and totally surrendered over to the Lord. So number one, the first way that you can live sacrificially for the Lord is by renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. And this is found in Romans 12:2, which is the verse that follows Romans 12:1, which we were referencing. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Here's the deal. We have to be sure that our minds are surrendered over to Christ, that our thoughts are surrendered over to Christ. Because here's the deal, sin starts in the mind, and I know I've said this before in here, sin starts in the mind. Every single bad thing that you want to do, it starts up here with a thought. And so if we decide to surrender our thoughts over to the Lord and say, God, help me to think about the things that you want me to think about. God, help me to dwell on what Philippians 4:8 says, where we're meant to think on what is, well, let me just pull it up right here, Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And so if we can set our thoughts up against those things that were just mentioned and say, are these the thoughts that I'm thinking? And if they're not what you're thinking, then you need to say, Holy Spirit, help me to refine my thoughts. Holy Spirit, help me to think godly thoughts. Help me to think about the thoughts that Philippians 4:8 tells me to think on, to meditate on. That's what it means when it says meditate. It means to think on those things. And so we have to renew our mind by reading the Word of God. The Word of God is going to renew your mind. The Word of God is going to change your mind. In fact, some studies show that when you read the Word of God four times in a week, just four times, we should all be reading it seven times in a week, but just four times, there is an actual change in the way that your brain looks on certain scans. And this is a proven thing that you can look up after service, and you will see without a shadow of a doubt that the science proves it. And if we could just get our minds cleaned up, I think so many of us, if we could just start thinking more godly thoughts, so many of us would have less sin in our lives. And it's because of the fact that when we renew our mind, what's happening is we're no longer going to dwell on sinful things. We're no longer going to dwell on the things that tempt us, but instead, the Word of God's going to get deep down inside us because we've been meditating on it, and it's going to renew our minds, and it's going to help us to overcome the sin that we face and think godly and noble and pure thoughts. And so number one, we have to renew our mind. Number two, the way that you can live sacrificially for the Lord is by holy living, holy living. Now, holy is kind of like a word nowadays in our culture, but it's not a bad word at all. In fact, we should be holy. We should be holy. That's why 1 Peter in chapter 1, Peter writes, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." What does this mean? He says, be holy in all you do. Be holy in all you do. That means that you're not just meant to be holy when you come to church. You're meant to be holy in the workplace as well. What does that mean? That means that you're meant to be set apart in the workplace. That means that you're not meant to, when you come to church, you don't use any curse words, and then whenever you go to work, you swear like a sailor. That's wrong. That is not okay. We are meant to be holy in our workplace. When we come to church and we're holy, but then we go over and, you know, we end up getting in arguments, dumb arguments with our family. We end up yelling at them and not loving them. Guess what? That is the opposite of being holy. You look just like the rest of the families in the world who don't have the Lord whenever you're doing that. And so what we need to do is we need to engage in holy living because the Lord has called us to be holy as he is holy, set apart, different from the rest of the world. And so when we choose to be holy as the Lord is holy, what we're choosing to do is we're choosing to reflect God in one of his main characteristics, the fact that he is holy, the fact that he is set apart. There is no one like him, no one beside him, no one who even comes within a sniffing distance of him. He is so set apart. He is so different from any other false god, anything like that. And so we need to make every possible effort that we can to avoid sinning, to avoid looking like the rest of the world. To live sacrificially means to be holy as the Lord is holy in every single thing that we do. Not just church, but work, family. If you're in school, you're meant to be holy at school. When you're in the car, you're meant to be holy as well. As hard as that may be sometimes in DFW, we are meant to be holy. Romans 6, 12 through 13, Paul writes this, and it's kind of similar to Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. He says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. Totally surrender to God. Give 100% of yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness." We are meant to be instruments of righteousness. We're not meant to look like the world. We're not meant to look and blend in with them. No, we are meant to stand out. And being different is okay as a believer. The early church was persecuted for it. And guess what? They counted it all joy that they faced persecutions of many kinds, because they were counted worthy of the persecution. And if Jesus faced persecution, he said, so are y'all. Be ready for it. And so it's okay to be different because you're holy. We're not meant to blend in. You know, people are supposed to look at us and say, "Hey, there's something different about Jimmy. There's something different about Gary or Carla. There's something different about them." And it's supposed to make them think, "What do they have that I don't have?" And then maybe, just maybe, by your holy living, they might open a conversation where you're able to tell them about the work that the Lord has done in you and the peace that the Lord gives you, even when there's a situation that should be causing you stress and worry. Or the financial freedom that you have because of the blessing of the Lord on your tithe. Things like that. And so our holiness is supposed to be an opening for people to inquire, to ask us questions and say, "Hey, how are you like this? What's so different about you?" And you can tell them, "You got to know about this guy named Jesus," and fill them in on that. Number three is serving others. And so number one was renewing our mind. Number two is holy living. And number three is serving others. Galatians 5:13 says this: "Serve one another humbly in love." Serve one another humbly in love. One of the best ways that we can live our lives as a living sacrifice is to actually just serve and sacrificially for one another. to not expect anything in return, to not do it with strings attached, but to just simply serve, to give our time, to give our energy, to give our effort to other people who are in need. You know, Jesus sacrificed his very life for us so that we could have salvation. He sacrificed his very life for us so that we could have peace, so that we could have healing, so that we could have freedom. And these are the things that he sacrificed his life for. And my question to you is what have you sacrificed recently for somebody else? What have you sacrificed even for the Lord? And, you know, this is just part of the way that he served us. And even, even beyond just him dying on a cross and raising from the dead, in his mortal body, he still chose to serve the disciples around him. At the Last Supper, he gets down on his hands and knees with a bowl of water and washes the disciples' feet. There was nothing too low for the Lord to serve in. And so we need to be sure that we're not too hoity-toity, too puffed up. Hoity-toity, sorry. We're not too puffed up to say, I'm not going to do that thing. I'm above that. I'm too good for that. If the Savior washed feet, I can do whatever God calls me to do, no matter how low it is. And guess what? I'll see it as a blessing because I get to work for the kingdom. I get to work for the Lord. I don't just get to work for the Lord, but I get to work with the Lord. And that's an even greater blessing. Every day, if you want to change the way you work, see your work as you get to go to work with your Father. And it'll just change the way that you see work. It's changed the way that I see my work. And so if the Son of God served others, don't you think that we should too? Don't you think that we should be servants? There's several ways that you can serve, and obviously you can serve at church. There's this guy, his name is AJ, and he just recently took over the guest services team, and this is your invitation to join. And so if you want to serve in that way, we have a church of like 400 people, y'all, and right now we have a team of 16. We have a need for faces, to be at the front door smiling and welcoming people as they come in. We have a need for people to be in these chairs before service starts, talking to people and welcoming them. Because here's the deal, many people, what you don't know is that people think that people make the decisions about the church up about the worship or about the word. Most people make their decision about the church within 2 minutes of being here. Before they've even started hearing the worship, before they've even started hearing the word, they make the decision while they're still in the foyer whether or not they're going to come back. And so guest services is important. Shameless plug over. Not just guest services, but we have a kids ministry where you can, if you love kids and you want to minister to kids, go and talk to Pastor Matt about serving in that way and making the kingdom better because kids can know Jesus too. We have a media team that needs people who want to serve the Lord in that way as best as they can, work the cameras as best as they can, do the lyrics as best as they can, and working for the Lord. But you don't just have to serve here at church. You should serve here at church. Absolutely. Everybody in this room should be serving in a ministry here at the church. But you can serve at your work as well. You can serve your family. You can serve in prayer. Some of you guys are prayer warriors, and you need to start serving by intercessing for others around you. You know of people who are hurting. You know of people who are sick. You know of people who their marriage is just one bad argument away from breaking. Serve others by beginning to intercede for them, praying for them, without ceasing. And then you can also serve financially. For those of you who don't tithe, you're missing out on the blessing of the Lord. And we don't do it to get the blessing. That's just a perk of it. We do it because God asks us to bring the tithe, to bring our first 10% of everything we earn and give it to him. We dedicate it to him. It's not dedicated to the church. It's dedicated to the Lord. It's given to him. And the Lord will decide how that money is used. Fourth and finally, the way that we can live sacrificially is with spiritual worship. Colossians 3:17 says this, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, our worship goes beyond what we do in this sanctuary on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Your worship is more than just a few songs that we sing in a service. Worship is a lifestyle that goes beyond the four walls of this church. Worship is a decision that you decide to engage in every single day of our lives. And here's the deal. Worship is a lifestyle that we live because we need to decide that our work, the way we work, is going to serve as worship to the Lord. that we're going to worship God with our work and that we're going to choose to honor God with our work. We're going to decide the way that we parent is going to be as worship to the Lord, that we're going to read our Bible with our kids, and that's going to serve as worship to the Lord. We're going to teach them and help them learn how to pray, and that's going to serve as worship to the Lord. When you come here to serve, don't see it as some duty or some job at the church. See it as part of your worship to the Lord. And then finally, in your free time, choose to worship the Lord with your free time. With your free time. You know, there are quite a few times where I've thought about in my life, you know, the way that you worship the Lord and everything you do, honestly, is by being led by the Holy Spirit. And just asking, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do in this situation? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do in my free time? Holy Spirit, you know, I encourage you, before you come to church on Sunday mornings or Wednesday night, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you looking to do in me tonight? Holy Spirit, is there somebody that you want me to talk to tonight? Holy Spirit, is there anybody that you want me to encourage tonight? And don't just do that for church, but do that for every single thing that you do. Holy Spirit, help me to work well for you today. Holy Spirit, help me to honor you today. And sometimes, you know, we get a word from the Holy Spirit and we don't really obey it. I remember one time recently, I was going to Marble Slab with my fiance at the time, Mercy, and we were standing in line, we were going through line, and I saw this girl in Marble Slab. She was one of the employees there, and I just asked the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there something that you want me to do right now? Just randomly, just in the blue. And in that moment, he pointed this girl out to me, and just in my heart, he said, she's bullied. You need to pray for her. She gets bullied. You need to pray for her. And as I was going through the line, I was sitting there with that tension of, do I pray for her? Do I not? What do I do? You know? And unfortunately, I made the decision not to pray for her. And can I tell you, I on the way home, I just felt so convicted by the Lord because I wasn't fully surrendered to the Lord in that moment. I wasn't fully living sacrificed over to him in that moment. Now, I'm thankful that there are other times in my life where I have been obedient to the Lord, where I have been somebody who listens to the Holy Spirit and doesn't just listen, but does as well. And so my encouragement to all of us tonight, if you want to live sacrificially, as Romans 12 calls us to do, if you want to do that, which we all should as believers, then what we need to do is we need to be, number one, people who renew our mind every day. Number two, we have to serve others. Number two is we have to live a holy life. Three is serve others. And four, we have to do everything as if it's worship unto the Lord. Because it is. It really is. That's what Colossians says. Do everything as unto the Lord. So the way I'm going to close tonight is I'm just simply going to pray for all of us that we would be people who live sacrificially for the Lord. And then Pastor will come up and we'll be dismissed.